Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. In this week's show, we're going to recap Fight Win 134 in Sacramento, California.
Scottsdale.
And then
Arizona.
And then preview Fight 135 in Sacramento, California.
I guess.
As always on the show, I'm your host, Mange. I'm the co-host.
Josh.
How you doing, Josh?
I'm tired.
I'm very sick. So it'll be interesting. So before we get into that, let's do a little bit of news.
News.
What do you want to start with news today? So there's some big announcements for Super Fights, some other stuff going on. Do you want to start with Substars?
Sure.
All right, so Rafael Lovato Jr. has been announced for Substars. He does not have an opponent yet, but it's really interesting to see him doing more grappling.
Is this in the gi?
I actually have no idea. I know that he was announced for it. I assume it's no gi, but again, neither would really surprise me. Substars, I think, typically does more no gi than gi, but it's funny to see Lovato as the Bellator champion, like, still taking super fights.
I'm totally thinking about BJJ Stars and not Substars.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was like, is it in the gi?
No, that's one down in Florida. Substars is one down in Florida.
That's right.
Grappling Industries has announced its world championships, its first year worlds at the Dallas Europa Expo, which is a big fitness expo that runs down there. It's really cool. I've wanted to go to it for a long time, but it's cool that they're now running it. And the biggest news of that is...
It's free!
It's free. They have already 500 competitors announced for it. Which I think is crazy considering it's 5 months out.
Okay, guys, if you need to, Venmo me some money and I will fly out there and compete and lose beautifully.
Josh, you're already a black belt. You already compete for free.
Yeah, but I have to fly out there. I don't want
to
pay for that.
I'm already looking at flights, by the way. So I'm trying to work something out. It would be cool to go and cover that and see that because it's cool to see a big organization. They run more events than the IBJJF running their first world
they
championships.
Run against.
Yeah.
IBJJF a lot, which is kind of funny.
So it's really cool. I'm happy that they're, you know, they're doing a giant free jiu-jitsu tournament. That's really cool. There's no barrier to entry except getting to Dallas. I think you have to pay to get into the Europa Expo, which is like $30, but compete for free.
Bullshit.
That's pretty cool. They've also announced that there's the New York State Athletic Commission has cracked down with sort of blood testing in New York. We've talked about this before with Kasai and some other promotions that are having issues with running professional events in New York because New York State Athletic Commission requires like basically the same blood work that MMA fights now require. And there's been a bunch of hang-ups and hiccups with promotions getting that and not being notified that they need it. Grappling Industries has been basically given what it seems like a initial waiver for that for their upcoming events. But then we're working with and the New York State Athletic Commission to basically figure out what needs to get done because that would, I would assume, put a huge damper on...
They're probably showcasing it as an exhibition, hence they can't charge for people to come in
spectators, which sucks for us because these events cost us a lot of money to do, and we recoup some of that money through spectator fees because the production of the event costs us money, not just tournament registration. So that's actually in their budget. So that was interesting, and they've talked about that on Facebook. There's some big posts from David on Facebook, basically explaining the worlds, explaining the NMIS and the New York State stuff, and basically they're conditionally moving forward with that being fine. But that seems to be putting a damper on a bunch of New York events because we've heard every single promoter that I've talked to that is either based out of New York or runs events in New York has talked about this becoming an issue.
Step up your shit, New York. It's just grappling, okay? It's grappling.
I mean,
you can still get bled on, whatever, but we'll take that risk.
So that's interesting. Let's see what other things. Oh, yeah. Dorino versus Damian Maia has been announced in the UFC. Not really BJJ related, but sort of BJJ related.
Both BJJ guys.
Both high level BJJ guys. So Dorino's been campaigning hard for like past 3 months for a big fight, and he got announced this week that he's fighting Damian Maia. I hope this turns into a straight
Dorino
up.
Is going to get like flattened.
You think so?
I think he's. Damian's got such good jiu-jitsu. I think it's a whole different thing. And Damian, like, if you think about it, he did a lot of his career at 185 and then went down to 170.
Yep.
As for Dorino,
55 going up.
55 up. And he's not a huge welterweight.
No.
But it'll be interesting to see what goes on with that one.
I'm super excited. I heard someone, so basically there was a big thread on Reddit, probably like Reddit or RMA a couple weeks ago. And it was basically people who have rolled with a professional fighter, what did it feel like? And a guy basically went through all the pro guys that he had rolled with, and he was Damian Maia. He goes, for a guy that's soft-spoken as him, you'd expect him to have nice and flowy jiu-jitsu. No. He has the most, I'm gonna make you my prison wife jiu-jitsu I've ever felt. And that sentence just encapsulates, like, that's why I love Damian Maia. So this should be a really fun matchup, kind of a grappling matchup. Kasai has announced that Kyle Bame is the final entrant into their heavyweight bracket in the Dallas coming up in that event, and that Hulk has replaced Kanan Duarte in that bracket. So potentially now we're going to see a rematch of the Fanatics, the BJJ Fanatics Black Belt GP with those two guys in the finals, so we could see it potentially earlier in the bracket at Kasai.
There's no overtime in Kasai, right?
It's points. And maybe Golden Score. I forget what. I'll look into Kasai usually 2 weeks before we look at the rule set.
Because I think
events.
Hulk was winning that match, but.
Yes. The entirety of regulation during the Fanatics event, Hulk was dominating the match, didn't submit, and then Bame in overtime was able to beat him. So this will be interesting because there is no overtime from. I don't think there's an overtime at Kasai.
I don't think so.
No. So. It'll be a different rule set. I would definitely favor Hulk here, given their performance last time, but two interesting additions into the Kasai tournament. In other interesting news, talking about Kyle Bame, we now have a tag team matchup lined up for SUG. We have Craig Jones and Nicky Rodriguez versus Vinny Magalhaes and Kyle Bame. I do not remember what the SUG tag team rules are. I remember it being very
tag,
odd.
You're in.
Is it that? Was that what it is for SUG?
Essentially, you have to get okay. over to that side and tag them.
Okay. So it'll be an interesting matchup between...
Craig by heel hook. I don't think Nicky Rod will even get into the match if Craig starts.
I would honestly love for this to be a four-man bracket.
I would love for them to just go at it at the same exact time and try to submit each other while grappling with another person.
I want
the biggest spectacle ever.
It will be interesting. Let's see. In kind of downer news...
Wait, no. Hold on, there's a little note underneath of what he did. As everybody knows, Kyle Bame and Gordon Ryan have some beef.
A little bit, years now.
And Maine is speculating that Gordon is doing this just to fuck with Kyle Bame.
It's in my notes. I wasn't going to say it on the show.
Oh, I'll say it.
But Gordon Ryan has pulled out of that event, and it was replaced by Nicky Rodriguez. Again, he retired, and we're not sure what's up with Gordon. I would love to see him not retire because he's really fun to cover and fun to watch.
I'm rolling my eyes.
But... It was fun. I was like, hey, that's funny that Kyle got announced and Gordon's like, you know what? Nah. Nicky Rodriguez. So that'll be interesting. In downer news.
Yukinori Sasa, he passed away earlier this week. There's no official details, but people close to the story have said it was a suicide, which is a bummer. He is Rikako Yuasa's coach.
Yeah.
He's one of like the more well-to-do guys that came out of Japan. He's under Paraestra, under, I just blanked on his name, Yuki Nakai.
Yeah.
Who is also, you know, produced Shinya Aoki.
Who is the O-est of G's in the Japanese jiu-jitsu and MMA scene.
Aoki and Imanari and all those guys. So our condolences to his family and students. That's a bummer. Remember, you have friends that you can talk to. If you need them in your time of need. So be sure to try to reach out and all that stuff because that's not always the answer.
Yeah, well said, Josh.
Thank you.
In less downer news, the AJP Grand Slam has announced all of its prize money for 2020. It's really cool to see a bunch of different... This feels like a weird segue
all
now.
All the monies.
All the monies.
By the way, this happened and then, hey, money.
Yeah. So they've announced all the payouts for 2020. I think the black belt men's division pays out like $72,000. The brown
in total,
or
you didn't look into it too much.
I did, but I'm very sick, and there's a chart, and it.
You don't feel like bringing it up. That's
I don't know where it is, Josh. I saved
you it. You can get good money. He's reaching his pocket, folks.
Yeah. So, but they announced the ones for the men's, the women's. There's the women's and the men's payout is the same, although there are less women's divisions, so the pay is different. That's what I remember
right.
Oh, cool. You're paying the divisions the same, except there are less divisions for the women, so the pay is less. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I was very happy with that. Also, brown belts get paid out. Also, I can't find the chart anywhere, but
Man
you can
has
find
9
it.
9 million pictures saved on his phone?
13,000 pictures. Saved on my phone.
How many gigs is that?
128.
Ah, yeah.
It's one of the big phones.
Yeah.
But we used to film off this for the show. We used to use this phone for the filming of the show.
Yep.
And then it eventually was like, I can't be doing this anymore with my phone because my phone would heat up and get super hot. And I was like, I'm going to burn my phone.
Now we got this weird, goofy looking thing in the corner.
We have that camera right there.
Yeah.
We're pointing to the camera. It shows us on YouTube, so you can watch the show if you want to watch us do this
instead of
just listening to us. Let's see. Oh, the Modolfo camp, Mo Jassim. The guy that currently runs ADCC, ran the ADCC 2019, is running 2021, is having his super camp right now at Black House in California, and it looks crazy.
There's a bunch of people there, a bunch of high-level grapplers.
The who's who, both the Ryan brothers, the Rotolo brothers, Craig Jones, JT Torres is there.
A lot of people.
It's super cool. They're putting out a DVD of it. I have no idea what that'll entail, but there was like a really quick image today of Gordon rolling with Kynan. There's like...
I really, really hope it's set to really slow, sensual music the entire DVD.
So that will be really cool. I'm super... It's like Cejudo's there as well.
What's a Cejudo? I'm kidding.
Making sure, Josh. I don't know how much MMA you watch anymore.
Very little.
I honestly been getting back into it. I like forgot how awesome it was.
It's not exciting,
dude. It's to so me. Exciting.
Like all the nonsense.
Got anything else, Josh?
Oh, the Flow Grappling Awards. Those happened.
That'll be the next section.
Oh, that's the next section. Yeah. That's not news. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. I'll do it.
That's it.
So let's move on. Let's talk about the Flow Grappling Awards for 2019. They did these a week later this year than previously, so we've kind of already wrapped up most of our end-of-the-year stuff, but I always like to talk about their end-of-the-year stuff because they cover a lot of grappling, and so they have cool opinions on stuff.
Flow Grappling covers a lot of grappling?
Josh, I'm super sick. Holy I don't know what crap. You want from me right now. My Holy body crap. Is trying to die. You did not bring me lemon ginger tea like you did last time when I was very sick.
Okay, one, you didn't tell me you were sick. Okay. Two, I think we're out of it, so I wouldn't bring it to you. And three, I told you to go to any fucking Asian grocery store and find the shit.
I might do that. So, moving on to the Flow Grappling Awards for 2019. The best male grappler of 2019 is Kanan Duarte.
Who's going to argue that? Tell me somebody who had a better...
Certainly not Emil. Like, Emil would argue that.
He would?
No, he would not.
Oh, I was about to say.
He definitely would not.
I was like,
if anyone on the team is not going
to
argue.
I would tell Emil to suck it because that's crazy.
I think the only other argument you can make is Gordon Ryan, but he was injured. Nope. He was injured the majority of the year.
Nope.
So.
And the best male grappler. That doesn't just say no gi. That's grappler. That
that's
covers
reasonable.
In the gi as well. And tell me somebody who's won more and done more in their first year at Black Belt.
First full year.
Whatever. First full year at Black Belt then. Than Kynan. No one.
Nobody.
No one.
Nope.
He won Worlds?
Yep.
Did he win Pans? I think he won Pans. He barely lost at Brazil Arrows.
To Mergali.
Yeah. He won Europeans.
Yep.
He won the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam.
Yep.
He won ADCC. Like, he's just winning,
mm-hmm.
like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me anybody who's... Please. At us. Let me know who is a better choice as grappler of the year.
That's just spam. Spam at this point. There's nothing. There's no, like, who are you going to say?
You can.
No, you can't. So, that was a pretty easy pick for everyone.
Yes.
For everyone. I think every single outlet this year picked him.
I think everybody on the Grappling Rewind team was waiting for me to be like, well, this list is complete horse shit. But, like, other than the video being far too long of having to watch it, like, it was spot on.
Yeah.
Like, you can't complain about these picks. Like, some of the stuff, maybe.
Some of the stuff is opinionated a little bit, but.
Some of it, but.
So let's talk about female grapple of the year. Best female grapple of the year, 2019, Bianca Basilio.
Again, like.
Like, by the numbers alone, you're like, you won, yes, these things that are very important. You're the champion.
Both gi and no gi.
Yeah.
And the women's division in general is a fucking grindhouse. It is just nobody suffered no losses.
Yeah.
Like nobody. And people remember Gabby Garcia. That doesn't count. She only did ADCC.
And Fight to Win.
Oh, she lost at Fight to Win. So there you go.
Did she
took
lose
it out.
Fight to Win?
She lost to
Flowers?
No. Natalie DeJesus.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, see, she didn't even come out without a blemish, so there you go. But Bianca Basilio, solid choice, won a whole bunch of stuff, won ADCC, messed up Fionn Davies' foot. Was it her foot or her arm?
Foot. It was the foot.
Yeah, her foot. Messed that bad boy up.
Twice.
Who else? Again, another, name me another female.
Nope, can't.
Like, between that or Maissa Bastos.
Yep.
Who, like, took down reigning kingpin or queenpin, I don't know how you would say that, of the rooster weights in Rikako Yuasa.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, but I think Basilio did more, so.
Yeah, more active activity.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the best match of the year for 2019, Gary Tonin versus Hanato Kanuto. This should just be called the Gary Tonin match of the year, like, and then it should be whoever else, like.
Gary tends to, well, he won it last year too, right?
He wins it every year, I think.
Okay. Well,
if Gary competes more than four times, he won it the first year of transition to MMA. He was like, no, Gary Tonin had one of the best matches of the year. If Gary Tonin is competing on stuff, usually he's going to have one of the best matches of the year.
Yeah, that match was hot.
So it
fire.
Should be called the Gary Tonin match of the year, and then it, whoever wins that should be the winner of that event, of that
yes,
thing.
Absolutely.
That was the worst way I could have ever possibly
said it. It doesn't
that.
Matter. Gary
My
Tonin.
My brain is not working so good right now.
Love you, Gary.
Yeah, he's great. Best submission grappler of the year, which
best submission of 2019.
It's written as best submission grappler of the year, but it should be written best submission of the year for 2019. Everyone pick this.
Name me a better one. I mean, like, legitimately.
I love how we haven't said it yet, but everyone knows what it is.
Well, yeah. Name me a better submission. And they even talked about it on their awards. Lachlan Giles. Yeah, now you know what we're talking about. He'll hook three people in a row that were all really, really good.
At the biggest event ever.
Biggest event ever.
Not the year ever.
77 kilos, right? He went out first round in his division. He'll hook the 99 kilo plus 99 division winner.
It was Gaudio next.
Was it Gaudio or was
it? It was Gaudio and then Muhammad was the third round.
Okay, but what did Muhammad?
Muhammad got taken out by Rodriguez first round.
Was that first round?
Yeah, because that was the first match.
Right.
Yeah, but still, Muhammad Ali, 2018 world champion in the gi.
And like, giant fucking person.
Yes.
You know, he'll hook them all the same way, essentially.
And then Gaudio, Gaudio, and then Muhammad.
Yeah.
Like,
and then
crazy.
He lost to Gordon and then won the third place
he
match.
He beat Muhammad in the third place match, yeah. It was Duarte,
dude,
Gaudio.
You were there. I'm not going to.
I'm also have like a fever dream brain right now, so I think it was
God,
Duarte.
You and the word fever dream again. I know. Jesus Christ.
It's an annual thing at this point.
Yeah, but no. Find me a better submission.
No, there wasn't one.
Find me a better submission.
So I think this is the first year. I think last year we had some disagreements. This year is like no disagreements whatsoever. Spot on.
I can't argue with like any of those
things. I think this year was a much more polarizing year for stuff. Like we had so many big, like just outstanding moments. I was like, oh, this is the moment.
Like there are tons of cool submission moments, like when Wardzinski caught Leandro Lowe.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
Submitted him. That was sick, but that wasn't like the best fucking submission.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to stop talking about it because I'm just going to be like, look, this is how it works.
So that was good. We agree with those. Let's move on to the recap section.
Yes.
So moving on to the recap section of the show, we're going to recap Fight to Win 134. It took place in Scottsdale, Arizona. This event paid a total of $43,175 in salaries and commissions and was headlined by Marcio Andre defeating Benson Henderson via decision. That is a great payout to start the year with.
Yes, it is. I know you were like, oh, he's going to say something. No, it's great. It's almost 50 grand. First show, you get to see Marcio Andre, who is, I believe, based in Arizona. I believe that's where his school is.
So is Benson.
Yes. I was going to get to that.
Okay.
But you have also a big name like MMA fighter. But let's talk about this one position, how Benson Henderson almost got Suliev stretched.
Is it Suliev or Sulubev?
Suliev.
Suliev. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I wrote it in my notes and I was like, how does that actually... I didn't look it up. I was like, how is that actually spelled?
The only thing he didn't do that was what normally happens is have the body triangle.
Yeah.
But that shit happened super fucking quick.
Mm-hmm.
I was like...
And that'll tap most people. But Benson, you've seen...
Benson can do splits. Like, legit splits. That's not a bother to him.
There's a picture...
If Marcio would have tried to get the leg tucked behind when you do that, like...
The knee bar position on it.
Yeah. He could have gotten it, or he could have made up a new submission and done some other wild shit that just stretched Benson out.
But once you start to get that stretch position, you start to lose at the end of it. You start to kind of lose a little bit of the control, and Marcio's a veteran, kind of going, I'd much rather keep the control
fuck
here.
That pulled the leg behind his body.
There's a really famous picture of that I love of Benson Henderson, and you can see how giant his legs are. It's when he's is it Nate Diaz?
Or I don't know, but he does have massive
maybe
quads.
Frankie Edgar. He's axe kicking someone, and you see like his leg is facing the camera, and it's straight up in the air, and you can see his like giant quad, and you're like, he has giant legs.
Yeah.
So that reminded me of this
tons
picture.
Of people. Like, look at Rob Sullivan. He's got giant quads.
Yeah.
I have very big quads as well for being a midget. So
let's see. This is a fun match. I was honestly like, Marcio.
Dope. I like that Benson still grapples as well as fights, although I haven't seen him recently in the Bellator.
I forget the last time I saw him in Bellator.
No idea.
It might have been. It was a little bit ago. He did not look great last time I saw him fight.
All I know is I just want him to, like, do crazy shit, take people down, chew on a toothpick, call it a day.
Yep. But he looked good. This is actually, like, I was kind of surprised with, like, how much action there was in this match. I figured that Marcio would kind of try to slow Benson down, but he was pretty active the whole time.
Hell no. Marcio can put a pace on anybody. But that's the other thing is, unless you can completely stifle Benson's movements, he's going to move quickly. Mm-hmm. And there's no gi to do that, so what do you have to do? Better train your fucking cardio.
Yeah. So Marcio goes all over him for the majority of this match and then goes to the decision. Marcio wins a pretty straightforward decision. I mean, he had done more. Benson falls a couple times for like heel hooks and leg attacks, and Marcio literally just looks and doesn't even address it.
He does one of these, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Why are you there? Kind of things.
It was one of those, because there's two ways guys address the footlocks. Is they fall back for it and they're like, they look at the ref like, it's nothing, and you kind of go, but is it really? And then there's the way that Marcio did it, which was, I'm not even going to address this, I'm just going to keep doing something else.
Yeah.
And it's like, that legitimately is not a danger to you. It's not I'm no-selling it, it's I'm literally not worried about this.
Now,
and he's good enough
to
do
announced
that.
This got announced a lot during the entire show. Did they change something with the scoring? Like
for fight to win?
Yeah, the commentators kept talking about that a lot. Or maybe I just thought they were talking about it a lot. You talk to Seth more than I do.
Yeah, we haven't covered them live in a bit because they've been over at the West Coast and been on a break. He talked about
I think it was like something to do with the significance of submission as what it would be considered like points-wise or whatever
Yeah, because Seth talked about changing that up in 2020, but he didn't go into specifics last time we talked to him. So, but they changed their rules,
we'll
infrequently. I mean, it's sort of a mosaic of rule change over the years, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was a new thing in 2020 that they've changed. So that would actually make sense.
We'll talk to him. Maynold get in contact.
Yeah, I'll figure out exactly what. So he does talk about it. We can talk about it more professionally with like, hey, exactly what is considered here. But again, all the stuff I saw, this one,
it was roughly
the scores like fight to win.
Yeah.
So next match, Karen Antunes defeats Talita Alencar via split decision, and she reclaims the fight to win bantamweight title for fight to win.
Former champion lost it. You guys were talking about it last week. You were like, Who was Talita against at Fight to Win 53? I'm yelling, Array Alexander.
It was Array. Yeah, no. As soon as
in my fucking car, I'm like yelling. I'm like, it's this. Just so you know, I do download it, like every episode.
Yeah.
I don't have to be on it to listen to it. I just like
Josh
listening to it.
Every
and
week.
I will also criticize and critique everything that they do.
Honestly, like you say, like it's a bad thing. It really helps us, makes the show better, so we don't make the same errors week to week to week to week over. Because you go, hey, it's this person, or the move you're looking for is this, or the name you're looking for is this. Occasionally, we'll get messages on Instagram of like, hey, the grip you're looking for is this. It's called a pretzel grip. It's called a this. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thank you.
Thanks everybody that helps us out. By the way,
no, dead serious.
We
like,
are stupid.
I mean, not kind of.
Don't.
But
don't
I do appreciate.
Lie.
I do appreciate messages
we
when
are
like, people
dumb.
When people let us know stuff and like correct us. Like, hey, it's this is what you're looking for. Oh, that's the match. Okay.
Like, Emil might be a doctor, but I wouldn't trust him to save my goddamn life. He can doctor numbers.
So let's move on to this match. this one, I was again really impressed. We typically see Talita come out super, super aggressive in the majority of her matches and then tend to fade towards kind of the low end of the match. And Karen came out guns a-blazing at the start of this match.
I think she figured that if she knew that Talita does that, that fades down the stretch.
Yeah.
And she was like, if I put the pace on her and she doesn't want to keep up a pace, it's going to throw her all off, which I feel it did.
I think that's exactly what happened, because I did not expect Karen to come out as quick as she did, because Talita's pretty much
she's only getting like better and better. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, think about it. What was it? 2 years ago that she had her daughter.
Was it that long?
Or 3 years ago? Something like that.
I think maybe two years ago.
It was like 2 years ago, and then she started training, and then she won Worlds, like, not even a whole year after her daughter was born.
After having a child.
Yeah. And then she's out here still doing it, crushing it, setting good examples for all the ladies and her daughter.
Yeah, I think...
I want to say that you're smaller, and Rachel would have enjoyed this. If you guys were at Open Mat yesterday, there was like...
Yeah, she way too worked, and I was super sick.
There was like 12 women there altogether of varying sizes, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to go train so bad, but I was super – I was like, let me not infect our gym. That would be super disrespectful. And then Rachel had just worked that night, and so she was zonked. She was zonked. She was like, you want to go? She goes, no, I'm too tired. No. She was, I literally woke her up to see if she wanted to go, and she was like, nah, I'm going to stay home and sleep. I was like,
I'm going to stay home and watch anime.
She just slept. This was really the most interesting thing in this match for me was the Atunes gets the back from Alencar and like flattens her out. And it's really rare to see someone of the caliber of Alencar get flattened out like that with like double hooks in, chest flat to the mat. I went, whoa.
That's the thing. Like, that's something that I've been working on a lot is getting off of my side or my back when I'm on the back and getting the opponent to belly down to try to do that, because it's super powerful.
And it's really hard to come up out of that position. Once you get your legs and knees out and your hips down to the mat like that, when somebody has the hooks in, it's really hard to come up with that. And that's, again, we don't see it at the high levels very often. I was super impressed with Karen here, her ability to like get there and get Alencar down like that. I was like, because we've seen Alencar be a monster for a long time here.
She's a straight up beast. Like, that's what I really love, and like I will champion always women's jiu-jitsu, because you can't, as a male, you have to know there are certain limits. Like, you don't want to be like me right now. I'm 225, and I'm not going to go against a woman that's 140 pounds and try to crush her, because one, I could hurt her, and two, I'm just being an asshole. And it doesn't mean her skill set is less than mine.
No.
It's just difference of body size. But ladies will fuck you up. They do not care. And it's great. I'm blanking on her name, so I'm going to look at my phone while I'm talking about this. But we were training, and a female black belt came yesterday. She's 23 years old. So that means she's literally she just turned 23. So she's 11 years younger than I am. Holy fuck, was it just fun, because she looked super happy to be rolling with everybody, which was awesome. And then she Jessie Swanson. Mm-hmm. She's down in Maryland now. Brown belt world champion, black belt now. Dude, she was like, I don't give a fuck. You're going to give me space to do anything? I'm going to fuck you up. And I was like, "Oh god." And I had to mind like all of my shit to try to just go through, because you can't sleep on any female skill. Can't be like, "Ooh, I'm a dude, I'm stronger than you." Nah, they'll fuck you up and love every second of it.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool to see here, like, Karen kind of impose that kind of game, that kind of like bullish game plan to someone like Alencar, who typically is the kind of puts that on to people. It's like, interesting here.
If you compare them, a lot of times the women's matches in like finals of big tournaments are far more exciting than the men's.
Yeah. A lot of times.
Women are trying to fuck you up. Just let it be known.
It's great. This match was definitely that. I mean, we saw a ton of different positions here, like attempts on arm bars, flying triangles. Karen, again, tries to hit that signature, like, flying shit at the end there.
Beast mode.
And basically reclaims the fight to win title at 125. Really good, really fun match. You should go back and watch it.
I think how it went was Talita won it at Baltimore. And then...
Did Talita beat O'Reilly?
Yes.
She did?
Yes.
Okay.
It was close, and we were even discussing when that happened. Like, yeah. We were like, oh, it's a close one.
That was the
one.
First show we ever did, actually.
And Talita, was that? Yes, it was. Yep, that was the first show we ever did.
Yep.
Or no, she didn't win it, but then she went against Karen, and she beat Karen.
Okay.
And then it like came back around, and then Talita lost it.
So I thought Tracy Goodell fought for that as well.
Yeah, there. It's it's.
I need a lineage. I'm 2020. I want to get a lineage of like who has who.
Yeah, but it was an awesome match. Definitely go back and watch it.
Move on, Josh.
Yes, Andrew Gardner defeated Jose Munoz via decision. Doug Moore defeated Alex Martinez via Kimura.
And that was submission of the night for the black belt. Doug does a really good job here of like riding the butterfly guard hooks out and basically in a scramble gets Kimura and pops it out.
I'm going to mess up his last name because I... Gerson... was it Antigue?
Antigue.
Okay.
The cool. Commentary staff threw me off on this one because I was going like... They called him like six different names and I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Gerson Antigue.
Okay.
Antigue? I watched this match like twice and so yeah. I'll throw it out.
Gerson Antigue defeated Ron Henderson via decision.
And that was Friday night for the black belts. Man, there's a ton in this match. This is one of those deservedly Friday night matches. Lots of back and forth. Gerson looks super dominant the entire time. He starts off the match with that like JT Torres shot. It's like low and then basically he pick low at the leg and then he just pulls guard into it.
Oh, you mean like everybody else does when they do the fake shot to guard pull? Sort
yes,
of like
but
the,
JT looks really good when he does it.
You know who else looks really good when they do it? Gi Mendez. And he grabs the tail of your lapel and then goes to shoot and then pulls and then fucks up your life.
Yep. We saw Gerson going for like a topside Bravo. We saw him with like...
Henderson was going for like reverse De La Hiva and he was underhooking, trying to go under, and Gerson was like feeding the lapel and trying to just choke him from
the top
position. Yeah. It was awesome.
And basically, like, tons of different positional exchanges, back and forth. The top side
Kimura's,
step
over
knee bars.
A complaint that Maine has. Maine does not like the smoke machine at Fight to Win because he feels it makes the footage blurry.
No, it makes it cloudy. Not blurry. It's not blurry.
Cloudy.
It's cloudy.
And then I looked at him and I go, hey, you know when you go to Fight to Win? He goes, yeah. And I go, you know how it looks cloudy? He goes, yeah. And I was like, oh, you mean it's like you're there or watching the video? And he was like, I just don't like it.
I just wanted to be clear, man. It makes it a little cloudy for me. Like nice leg beat passes. There's at one point Gerson grabs like collar and sleeve and basically tries to jump over the guard into an armbar. And then spends the last like 15 seconds going straight Andre Galvao from that video with the black belt.
Fake black belt tries to heel hook.
Yeah,
him.
He does that. He's like the ride on the back, reverse back, and like just rolls through and then takes a pretty straightforward decision. And it was deservedly fight of the night for the black belt. It's really fun to watch Gerson kind of do what he does. He's super active and aggressive.
Hey, Evan, more smoke.
Jesus. Next match.
Josh Guerrero defeats Stephen Hall via footlock.
So I went back into the individual matches. I couldn't find this one. I'm not sure if I've just missed it.
I bet you it's in like the full.
It may be in the full. It hadn't been parsed out yet. Okay, might have been the issue.
I bet you.
And we had Vitor Emmanuel defeating Dom Hoskins via cloverleaf. I loved this match because Dom goes for the deep half guard, and that's pretty much what everyone at our gym plays. There are a lot of guys at our gym play the deep half guard. Okay, a lot of the guys that I deal with play deep half guard.
I think deep half guard is like a full-blown just like safety position through and through. Like I go there. If I'm playing deep half, it's because I fucked up somewhere and I just need to be safe until I can recover. I literally only use it as a recovery position. Sorry, Bernardo Faria. Like I know that was your entire thing and you're a fucking monster at it. But like I just feel like you don't see a lot of people using it anymore as like the full-on guard. It's just intermediary position to go from one thing to another.
Right. Well, Dom's,
my personal position.
Dom's here in deep half, and Victor does what basically my favorite thing over is he does a step over into, like, the saddle position and then starts, like, pulling leg out, and then goes, like, he hips down on it, so you end up in a nice cloverleaf position, and then extends out, and it's super hard to get out of that position, especially in the gi. Typically get a beautiful clover leaf, and they were saying that he's now 4-0 for Fight to Win. He's probably next in line for a title shot.
Solid,
which would be really cool. Again, I don't recall who has the title at that weight class, but I always love guys like getting up in the ranks and Fight to Win, getting title shots.
Jake Watson defeated Arnaldo Maidana via decision. Jake Watson staying like busy. Mm-hmm.
He's on next week too.
Jesus, yeah, Christ. Dude, that dude travels.
We saw him a ton at brown belt. And then now he got black belt.
Does he work for them?
No. Not that I know of. He may work for them now, but I don't believe he does. We saw him a ton of brown belt. He was a former title holder at brown belt. Came into black belt, took some tough matches at black belt, and we've seen him kind of get into a groove now. He pulls immediately, really great guard work out of the single leg X, comes up, you know, just active, looking for subs the entire time. His finishes looking for an armbar. He does a really cool transition with like 3 seconds left of the match from mount over to this armbar. Really cool match. Really like seeing Jake Watson like kind of find his feet at black belt and put on great performances. Next match we had, you always say the name, Josh.
Roddy.
Mm-hmm. Bryson Barrett defeating Josh Cabe via split decision.
John, not Josh.
John Cabe via split decision become the Masters Plus light heavyweight champion. Bryson Barrett was a late replacement here so that Cabe could get an opponent, because Cabe's original opponent actually had pulled out. And dude looks good. Basically, he just wins this on activity, I think. You know, he's just throwing up more sub attempts for kind of a little bit more of the match. Again, when I saw it as a split decision, I was like, okay, that's really reasonable. Like, it was a very, very close match. One of those that I would not be upset about, like, a rematch happening at some point in the future. Good match. Nice positional work from all places from both guys. Fun to watch.
Daniel Hampton defeats Carlos Souza via choke. Brenda Heller defeated Nivian Oliveira via footlock. Gabriel Reveredo defeated Evan Gongora via footlock. Aaron Wilson defeated Joe Murphy via rear naked choke. João Pedro I bet you spelled that wrong. Soero?
Nope, I copied stuff, Josh.
Oh. He defeated Jonathan Van Buren via decision. Matthew Mamelin. See, I can't even read typing anymore.
It is a little, the text is a little small. I will give you that, Josh. Let me
you
help.
You need to brighten
Let me hope your
up.
Old eyes out.
Dude, I turned 34 in a couple of weeks.
Are you that young?
I love how everybody thinks I'm almost 40 years old. The other day, people were like, what are you, like 38? I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, I figured you were like 36,
Christ.
37.
No. Oh, God.
Like, I mean, life hits you hard, dog. It doesn't look good. Like, have you seen how you look?
Yeah, like grossly out of shape and
I know,
everything,
man.
Like that.
So yeah. I figured you were pushing 40. How old are you, really?
I'm 33.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were like way older than me.
God. Fuck you, man.
That's reasonable.
Anyway, Matthew Mamelin defeated Evan Gongora via decision. Charlie Swanton defeated Mike Berlaca via decision. Javier Torres defeated Tim Welsh via split decision.
On to the brown belt results.
Eric Anderson, I just can't read. That's what it is. Defeated Sergio Esquivel via armbar.
I want to talk shit, but I'm trying to keep up with you as we're reading, and I'm like not able to do it today. I'm like
seven names ahead and still trying to
read.
Dude,
I can't. I'm struggling today. It's not. I broke a sweat about 5 minutes ago, and I don't know why. I'm like, this isn't good. My body's telling me to lay down.
You have the bad AIDS.
Something, dude.
Don't worry. They've found another person that they've cured. It's great.
Awesome.
Michael Currier defeated Kevin Duran via ankle lock.
And that submission of the night for the brown belts.
Tiago Asso defeated Scott Hoddick via armbar. Really? Hugor Beck defeated Colin Baxter via armbar. Michael Cashman defeated Joel Velasquez via toe hold. Alex Horseman defeated Jose Suarez. I almost read the two things in the middle. John Burns defeated Daniel Allen via decision.
And that was Friday night for the brown belts.
Jonathan Rodriguez defeated Corey Kerber via split decision. Lucas Norat defeated Israel Aquino via decision. And Maria Henderson defeated Carla Shellhammer via split decision.
On to the purple belts results, Josh. If you could read any slower, it would be awesome.
Is Maria Henderson Ben Henderson's wife?
I don't know. I think she...
I was working, so I didn't catch some of these, and I don't have an iPad in the corner that I can turn it on anymore.
We gotta go look at this after we record.
That would be actually pretty funny.
On the purple belt results.
Oscar De Los Santos defeated William Carvalho.
And he becomes the purple belt fight to win welterweight no-gi champion.
Sean Klicka defeated Keith Trujillo via guillotine.
And that was submission of the night for the purple belts. Love me some guillotines.
Hassan Mahed or Majed, but I'm thinking it's Mahed, defeated Zachariah O'Malley via decision.
And that's Friday night for the purple belts.
Serena Myers defeated Mina Burnside via bow and arrow choke. Johnny Tran defeated Rolando Calantes via triangle. Stevie Maltsubi, is that right?
Yes.
Maltsby? Maltby. There we go. Defeated Robert Graham via armbar. I almost read that as Graham. Again, can't read. Greg Mooney defeated Sergio Camacho via heel hook. Nolan Hyland defeated Joe McClellan via north-south choke. Josh Schwartz defeated Patrick O'Sullivan via decision. I'm going to keep that comment to myself. Brad Jacobson defeated Alex Benikov via split decision.
On to the teens results.
Joseph Cruz defeated Bryce Smith via choke.
Retains the fight to win bantamweight title for the teens.
Gabriel Fuentes defeated Lucas Varela. Killed it.
Via guillotine. And that was submission of the night for the teens.
Vanessa Aguirre defeated Jessica Burke via triangle armbar. Annalisa Kirk defeated Ivana Odell via choke. Luis Varela Jr. defeated Deshaun Newman via decision. Lola Hunt defeated Lasinia Ochoa?
I think
via
so.
Via decision.
And that was Friday night for the kids and teens.
And Tyler Metcalf defeated Kenji Azarias via decision.
I like the fight to win has a new overlay that they use.
I was going to say the same thing, and when I first turned it on, I was like, are we in the black belts already? But they just have the black belt tied around.
Yeah.
I thought it would be really cool if they had the overlay of the belt that they were doing.
That would be really cool.
I know that's probably a lot of interface that has to be messed around with, and I'm not going to...
But I love that they have the names up.
The names constantly.
Yes, that's
the colors,
so helpful.
Although sometimes that doesn't help if you can't see the little tab.
Yeah. But again,
that's besides the point, and a lot of times you can figure it out fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Who's who.
Because the commentator would say something, okay, the other, this is this guy. Yeah,
exactly.
I love that. Whenever I watch events, like, I notice, like, something like UFC.
Quality of life improvement.
Yes. Where you see, like, okay, what fight I'm watching? Oh, I'm watching this guy's last name, this guy's last name. I love the fight to win. It always includes the whole name, because it makes it so much easier to be, like, kicking on a match. Like, if I look
I hate
over.
That Fight Pass took that away.
I do, too. I hate
it's
that.
The worst.
But I love that, like, I can now put the fight to win on my TV, and then I can look up from, like, making dinner and see, like, oh, okay, these guys are fighting still. Okay.
Yes.
And, like, look up. Like,
and
that is
awesome.
And you're
not doing the guess
And work. I'm not looking like, okay, do they have a blackie or a white key? Oh, no, it's the same guy's names
up
there.
They both have blackies. Fuck. No, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Like, I love that promotions have the full name up there. It is so helpful when watching an event. Please.
Little quality of
yes,
life improvement.
Please keep doing that. It's awesome. Love Fight to Win in 2020. Glad they're paying out a ton of money. Anything else on this one, Josh?
Nope.
All right, that does it. How you doing? So before we get into the preview section of the show, I want to like do a quick aside. In 2020, we are really trying to grow the Grappling Rewind to reach more people that are fans of jiu-jitsu and professional jiu-jitsu. So if you would share this episode or share the show with the friends.
Everybody. Not even your friends. We don't care if they like jiu-jitsu or not. Share it. They'd be like, hey, listen to these two idiots that are talking about this thing that you know nothing about. It's amusing. Share it. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page. We're trying to grow that one too, trying
yep.
to get more and I just forgot the words. Content. That's the word. More
we're
content.
We're putting out more
on
content
it.
On YouTube. I'm working on some other interview content.
Check out the website, grapplingrewind.com.
Yeah, we just relaunched our new website, so it should be more usable. We updated the events list. Like, we are looking to produce better content in 2020.
Put some blog stuff on there.
Yes, and you sharing our content and sharing particularly this show on whatever platform you listen to it to the friends and the folks at your gym is the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate that. So that's all I got. I want to move into the preview section now. So on to our preview of Fight to Win 135 taking place in Sacramento, California on January 18th. This one is main evented by a super heavyweight black belt no-gi bout between Victor Hugo and Nick Rodriguez. That's not really a black belt match. That's just a super heavyweight, really good at jiu-jitsu match.
Yo, look, it's because of silly IBJJF standards that he's not a black belt. Who takes second place at ADCC like with 6 months training?
I mean, he had almost 2 years, Josh. Give him credit.
Bullshit. Like,
Nick Rodriguez. So,
yeah.
I'm super excited for this matchup for a couple of reasons. So, these guys, we now at the heavyweight jiu-jitsu, we have this cool little trifecta. Victor Huger has gone against Cyborg at black belt 3 separate times. Once in the IBJJF heavyweight GP that he lost in. Once in Nogi Worlds at weight class that he lost, and then once in the Absolute later that day at Nogi Worlds where he kneeboard Cyborg.
He kneeboard Cyborg.
I did the same thing. We kept that. Kneeboard
Kneeborg Cyborg. We're just going to call it a Kneeborg.
Kneeborg and Cyborg in the heavyweight absolute final for the IBJJF Nogi Worlds. Nick Rodriguez has also competed against Cyborg in ADCC, where he took a very close and somewhat contentious decision over Cyborg. Josh, you give me a look.
Who contended it other than Cyborg?
Cyborg contended
Nobody
it.
Nobody else was like, Cyborg should have won.
Yeah. It was a close match. Like, it was a close match. And so now, basically, we have a like opponent in Cyborg, and Victor Hugo has wins and losses against him, and Nick Rodriguez has a close win over. So, but we also see Nick Rodriguez taking a recent heel hook loss via Duquesne and Duarte, and a loss in points at ADCC to Kanan Duarte.
Maybe Kanan is just his kryptonite.
But I'm saying we know Victor Hugo has a nice knee bar game now because he pulled it out via Cyborg.
We know that Nick Rodriguez is now full-time training at Henzo's with all of those other crazy folk.
Yes. So this is really interesting. How do you think this goes? I think we see what
One
Nick
of two
Rodriguez
ways.
Does. Okay.
As in the interview last week with Jay Regalbuto. Excellent interview, by the way, mate.
Thank you.
The pace is going to be upped, and Nick Rodriguez is going to put on a pace that Victor Hugo is not ready for, and he's just going to beat him. He might decision him. He might submit him. But if he puts a pace on him, who knows? But the other thing that could happen is Victor Hugo's like, I'm totally just going to attack your legs, and Nick Rodriguez might still not be up to snuff with all of the defenses, and he might get caught.
Because he hasn't been at Henzo's for full time for too long now.
No, but you know, that guy seems like a sponge.
Oh yeah, and picks up stuff really quickly. I think we'll definitely see Hugo pull initially.
That might make it boring.
I don't think there's any incentive right here in Fight to Win for him to stand with Nick Rodriguez. Like,
you
who
dump
can
somebody
get,
on your head on
who
their
can
head.
Get Nick Rodriguez down?
Plenty of people. But not that we've seen.
Not that we've seen. Plenty of people possible. I don't think high-level black belts in BJJ are going to be easily able to get Nick Rodriguez down. I think Victor Hugo would struggle to get Nick Rodriguez down. I think his best course of action is sit, get Nick to engage in the open guard there, and then try to go under for one of his legs, kind of like he did with Cyborg. I think that's most likely Victor Hugo's pathway to victory. I think Nick Rodriguez is probably going to try to cartwheel pass over him and take the back, and we're going to see that repeatedly. I feel like that's the kind of match that we're going to get. It's basically, can Victor Hugo enter? And then when he enters, Nick Rodriguez is going to pull out and do the running man escape that we've seen him do many times. And then can he get around Victor Hugo's guard via like an explosive jumping pass and get the back, which we've seen Nick Rodriguez do a bunch of times. This is a really interesting matchup kind of stylistically because we've seen both guys have problems and success in both the areas that the other person's going to kind of push them into.
I like your way of explaining
it. I've been thinking about this for like 3 weeks, and I've been like super excited for it because I like watching both these guys. So I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm super excited this is the main event.
All right, let's go through to the rest of the card for the black belt.
Next one, we have a 200-pound black belt gi match.
210, not 200.
My eyes are bad too, Josh. No shit. Yeah.
Leandro Castrovejo versus Tobin Staley. I've been looking at Tobin the entire time because I'm a child, and the movie I Love You Man, where Paul Rudd just goes, you can call me Jobin, and for some that part specifically just tickles me every time. So Tobin sounds close to Jobin, and I'm again obviously a child.
It does, Josh. You're 35 years old. 205 pound black belt gi match.
Clayton Hamos versus Victor Cervantes.
We got 200-pound black belt gi match.
Jason Butcher versus Rich Flores.
200-pound black belt gi match.
Tom Steele versus Manny Rocha.
185-pound black belt gi match.
Oh, look, it's Jake Watson versus,
right?
Ronaldo Jr. Yo, that's a tall drink of water for Jake Watson.
Jake Watson coming off a nice victory this last week, but Ronaldo Jr. is no joke coming out of Atos.
Ronaldo.
What'd I say?
Ronaldo.
Oh, sorry. That's a tough match for Watson.
Yeah, this is gonna be fun.
How do you think this match goes? We saw Watson kind of push a pace at the last week, but
yo, Ronaldo though, like he kind of gets like a little too into it. Like he kicked what's his name, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that match? Who was he against? Oh, it's killing me.
Was it the Gracie match?
Was it Jonatus Gracie?
No, it wasn't Jonatus. No. Highland, wasn't it?
I can't remember honestly right now, but he definitely like pushed him or something, and Seth had to come down and be like, listen here, motherfuckers, stop.
That was a fun match.
185 black belt no-gi match. Vince Barbosa versus Brandon Alexander.
175 pound black belt no-gi match.
Marcus Bones versus Angel Lopez.
170 pound black belt gi match.
Dajas Neto versus Thomas Haley.
170 pound black belt gi match.
Louis Moreno versus Vinny Nunez.
170 pound black belt gi match.
Chad Bingham versus Breno Bittencourt.
170 pound black belt gi match.
Liz Mitrovic versus Talita Noguera. Ooh, that shit should be fire.
Yeah, Liz is a lot of fun to watch. We saw Liz most recently at Nogi Worlds in the semifinals, I think. Looked good. So it'd be fun to see her again in Nogi. Or sorry, in a gi match, having just seen her in Nogi.
150-pound black belt no-gi match. Manny Moreno versus Chad George. Like that Chad George from CJJ Chad George?
From Yamasa.
Is that the same Chad George? That's what I'm asking.
I think it is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
140-pound black belt gi match. Antoine Green Gibson versus Art Vega. And then we have a brown belt lightweight female gi title match. Joy Pendel versus Heather Woods.
Pendel. Joy and Liz run a podcast, or used to do a podcast. They don't do it as much anymore, and I'm blanking on the name of it, and it was fun to listen to when they did it. I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of it. We have a brown belt middleweight title bout.
Mikey Hothy versus Fabricio Silva. Do we have any more?
I think that's all the matches? Ones. We have some title ones at the lower. I think we have a kids one, I thought.
Let's keep looking.
I'm still looking, Josh. Nope, I'm incorrect. I looked earlier and I just thought there was. So that does it for our preview of Fight to Win 135. Looking forward to a couple matches on this card. They should be a lot of fun. Is Emil in next week or you in next week?
I haven't even discussed it next week with you. It's probably Emil, but okay. You know. Oh, it starts earlier. It starts at 7. Wait, is the 18th? When's the 18th? Is that Saturday?
I think it's Saturday. Yeah, I think the 18th is Saturday.
Oh, yeah, same day as the UFC.
Nice.
Yes, so it starts at 7, starts a little earlier.
Should be a lot of fun. So that about does it for this week on the show. Yeah, I'm recording, Josh.
I didn't hear the beep go off.
It beeped, yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're recording. I'm leaving that in.
Okay, that's fine.
So what's your week look like?
What's my week look like? Yeah. Fucking busy, waking up early, training as much as humanly possible, working, thinking about things to do at work, thinking about fun things to do at jiu-jitsu.
Nice.
Playing with my kids.
I'm trying to book as much travel as I possibly can for jiu-jitsu.
Maine's this past, was it this weekend or was it the previous weekend? Literally life is blurring together for everything. By the way, I don't understand why people buy houses.
It's very stressful, Josh.
Because you have to... 2019 as a year in whole, especially like the end of it, sucked for me and my family.
2019 was a terrible year.
It sucked. Like, fuck a 2019 right in its face. Like, our first dog died after like 16 years. That was a bummer. My furnace died. Fortunately, that wasn't an enormous fix. I stopped having hot water for 2.5 weeks. That sucked. I just got it fixed. I took like the first shower at my house like 2 days ago.
That's terrible, Josh.
Dude, I will show you pictures of my pipes. Like,
ew, Josh.
Because they were... Don't... Ew.
No, of your pipe. No, that's terrible, Josh. As in like, you know, it's terrible to have hot water in your house.
Yeah, it sucked and we had to... let me see.
I've replaced two sinks this week and a toilet.
Oh, I have to replace the faucet in my bathroom.
It's great.
Too.
I hate doing sinks and faucets.
Okay, this is one that had a little bit of... See that?
So Josh is now showing me an entirely filled pipe, probably about 80% cross-sectional area the pipe is full of.
Oh, that's like 95 easy.
It's not, Josh. I did pipe inspections professionally for like 2 years. That is an 85.
What kind 80. Of pipe was it then?
That is a, it's not, it's a copper.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He doesn't know shit about shit. That's galvanized pipe. That's why it's all backed
Dr.
up. Dr.
Liner
right
galvanized.
There. It's galvanized. Okay. Those are galvanized pipes.
Yeah, and you're showing me a front.
That one's fully blocked.
Okay. Yeah, so Josh's pipes are blocked. So this is super interesting, Josh. So your pipes are blocked. Terrible year for 2019. We are trying to travel more and do more
event coverage in 2020.
You're trying to travel more. I'm trying to get everyone to travel, but we have no funds to do it.
Maine thinks everybody's made money, essentially. Maine over here, ball until he falls. Like, I'm spending it. Fuck it. You know, Basically. Everybody else here, Emil's like, I have to travel for work, and I want to live my own life and do these things. And, you know... Ryan's like, yeah, so do I, and I also have a child. And Austin's like, I probably could do it, but I also have a career that I care about. And, you know, everybody else is like, yeah, we can kind of do these things. And Maine's like, hey, do you want to spend $600 to go somewhere for a weekend? It's like, Maine, I can't do that right now.
No.
Why not?
I've not put any flights in the chat that are $600.
That's true. Maine is very fiscally responsible when it comes to flights. He did tell me to use my special powers of finding cheap flights, which I didn't know I had, to find a cheaper flight for him to Houston, like, the weekend before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're trying to fly out on one of the most expensive days.
Yeah, I know.
Or the fact that he goes, hey, look at this. It's only X amount of dollars to fly to Denver. And I'm thinking—
It was $53.
Yes.
Round trip.
But I wasn't paying attention to the date. I thought it was June, and I was like, holy fuck, that's great. Like, we'll go on fucking vacation.
No, it was this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend. And I'm like, why are you doing this? He's like, just because. So that's what Maine does now, too. Not only does he run the podcast, and he edits it, and he goes to work, and he has a fiance, and he trains, and he teaches. Now, apparently, he's trying to be a fucking jet setter. Oh, and Maine apparently is okay with just hanging out on Spirit Airlines. Calling you out, Spirit. You suck.
Yeah. Got cheap flights.
It's cheap, but everything is uncomfortable.
That's
like,
fine. I'm little.
I'd rather be repeatedly hit with a soggy squash than fly on Spirit.
I got no problem with it. It's cheap.
I understand.
It
like,
hurts me in the wallet less.
Hey, it hurts you in the wallet less, but your broken back doesn't appreciate it.
It doesn't really appreciate it, but
it does not appreciate
I do appreciate flying to Dallas and or Houston or Dallas for $95 round trip, nonstop.
Dude, that when you guys were talking about that, I was like, whoa.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good deal.
Spirit all the way. Here we go.
No, fuck that. You have to literally have fun packing all of your equipment for a Spirit.
Josh, I did it for ADCC. I did it for Third Coast.
On Spirit?
Yes, Josh.
That's how did you jam all of that in one bag?
Because I'm a professional.
No, you're not.
Jiu-Jitsu podcast guy.
Although we kind of like cheated him out of it too. Because if you say you're bringing a bag, it costs money.
Yeah.
But there's a specific limit for your carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
And that carry-on bag can be pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And you can jam a lot of stuff in there.
I can jam two cameras, a tripod, two shirts, and a pair of like other stuff I need for clothing. And then the rest of the podcast gear.
How much underwear?
Like one pair, Josh.
My dude, you got to be able to pack better with the clothes.
It was an issue. I forgot. I realized in Houston I forgot, which was like, how'd you forget? I was like, because I forgot.
You're a scummy.
It happened.
How do you take a shower and then put the same pair of underwear?
You clean them, Josh.
With what?
With air. You just don't do it.
Oh, my God. This just in. Maine is grody.
So, that does it for this week on the podcast. As always on the show, I'm your host, Maine, with my co-host,
Josh.
We are the Grappling Rewind. See you on the mats. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google+.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.